Well, good morning and a very warm welcome to St. Mary's Church today. On behalf of everybody at our church, I'd like to extend a really warm welcome to you. It's really good to see you here this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Matt and I'm the curate here at the church. And later on in our service, our rector, Chris, will be preaching to us. So we look forward to hearing from Chris. Today we're continuing a series which is taking us through Lent called Outside Broadcast. And you'll see on the sheet of your pink notice sheet that the service sheet explains that this is a series which is taking us through Lent. And each week we're imagining ourselves into some of the places where Jesus walked. If you were with us last week, we were on Mount Tabor and we experienced the Transfiguration. But this week we're in the same boat as Jesus. We're on Lake Galilee. So we look forward to hearing from Chris later as he opens up this passage to us. Also, you'll find tucked inside your hymn book this morning a small sheet of paper that looks like this. This has been produced by Bishop Dagmar in the absence of Bishop Stephen, and it outlines some of the steps that we're taking as a diocese. The whole diocese are following these steps to ensure that our churches, and including St. Mary's, continue to be a safe place for everybody to worship in light of the coronavirus outbreak. So I would encourage you to take home these sheets of white paper and to read them through. But before we start our service this morning, I do just want to quickly assure you of a few things. And most importantly, that we as a leadership team and also the standing committee, we are fully committed to making sure that our Sunday services and our midweek activities are kept running for as long as they can, providing that everybody is kept safe. As Bishop Dagmar writes in her letter, we will not let our lives be dominated by fear or panic, but by care and love for one another. So we really do want to reassure you this morning that we care very much for you, and we do love you very much as well as a leadership team and as ministers here. We will be looking out for you in every way that we can in the next few weeks and trying to ensure that everything can go ahead as far as possible in the normal way it would. Obviously, things might need to change at short notice, but we'll want to keep you up to date. So to do that, we're going to be using the church website. We'll be posting on the homepage of the website and also on Facebook, if you're on Facebook. But I know some of you won't be on those more advanced internet features. So if you don't have access to the internet, then we'll also post information on the door to the church and the notice board at the gates at the front of church. And if you're housebound or you can't get out of the house, then if you call the church office, you'll either be able to speak to somebody during office hours who'll be able to give you information, or out of office hours, if anything's changed, we will record a message on the voicemail. So if you call the office, you'll hear on the voicemail whether things are running and whether there's any important information that you need to be updated on. And additionally, we'll just be making a few small changes to our church services to ensure everything can keep running. So as you come to church from now on, we would encourage you to wash your hands thoroughly before you attend church. And when you get home, to wash your hands again when you get back to your house. And as you saw this morning, we're also asking you to sanitize your hands as you come into church. But if you do have your own hand sanitizer, because obviously supplies are in short demand and you could bring that with you, that would obviously be very helpful and you could use it yourself during the service as well. As last week, we'll continue to share the peace, but we'll do this without making contact. And as we arrive at church and leave church, we'll also try not to make any contact as well. When we come to communion, we'll continue to receive the bread only, which still gives us the full benefit of receiving the sacrament, even if we don't receive the wine. But from this week onwards as well, we'll also receive communion whilst we're standing, if possible. So this means that we don't touch the communion rail with our hands and we don't create a place where infection can be passed on. So this means from this week onwards, we'll only be serving communion from the center of church. You'll be asked to come forward and to stand if you're able to receive the bread and to return to your seat. However, of course, if you're not able to stand, then please do remain in your seats and tell the sides people, and we'd be delighted to come and bring you communion in your seats. Obviously, this means for the temporary time being, the Lady Chapel will be out of use. And then at the end of the service, we ask that you would take, we don't always encourage this, but we ask that you would take these sheets home with you. I know it's good to be green and to try and recycle them for the next service, but we've been instructed we need to take everything home or destroy it. So please do take your notice sheet home with you. And after the service, we will still be serving tea and coffee in the church rooms, and we warmly encourage you to join us and to be with us. The only difference is you'll need to make sure that you allow the person serving to serve the drink to you and to place it in your hand, and that you don't self-serve yourself at the coffee dispensers, which is very tempting when we're trying to be helpful and to make the queue run along. Temporarily as well, that biscuits will be suspended from being served, which is very disappointing for people like me. But I am personally looking into ways that we can make sure that that comes back in the near future. So rest assured, biscuits will be back, hopefully by next Sunday. almost done. During this period, obviously, we'd encourage all of you to look after yourselves. And if you do have a cough or a cold or a temperature, then please do stay at home following the government guidelines. Even if you've promised to do a job here at church, please don't be one of those people. Please don't be British and soldier on. Please do stay at home. And if you can let somebody know that you're not coming, that would be helpful. But even if you can't, please don't come out of the house. Please stay at home and look after everybody else at church as well as yourself. And from this week onwards, we're going to be recording the whole of every service. So if you are not able to attend a service because you're self-isolating, you will be able to listen online from the next day. And if you'd like somebody to drop off a copy of the CD to your house, then do just contact the office and we'd be delighted to do that. So you can still join in either the 9 a.m. or the 10:30 service, or both if you're feeling super keen and want to listen to both of them. And finally, please do look out for each other at this time. I know that it's a time where perhaps we're keen to be caught up in making sure that we have enough supplies for ourselves, but please do look to other people in our church family who might be struggling at this time and offer them support in any way that you might find helpful. This is a good time to make contact with friends proactively and also people in your home group or other groups that you meet with at St. Mary's to check that they're okay and that they have everything that they need. And if everybody you know is okay, then maybe you'd think about supporting an organisation in Ely who's trying to help those who are a little less well-off than ourselves, like the Food Bank, who are trying to provide for people who don't have supplies in this time. And if you're interested in finding out more information, there's a Food Bank box here. You can speak to myself or find more information on their website or their Facebook page. If you're particularly concerned about yourself or somebody else in our church community, then do speak to somebody in the office or let me or Chris know, and we will make sure that somebody follows them up in the next few days. And obviously that's a lot of information to take on board, but I would encourage you to take these white sheets home, to read them and to digest them, and come and speak to me or to Chris and Derek, our church wardens, if you have any questions, and we'd be really delighted to send you off in the right direction and to help you. But again, I do just want to stress that obviously this is can be a bit overwhelming, all this information, and these few minor changes might be a bit overwhelming, and they could potentially cause some distress or some panic. But I want you to be assured this morning that as a leadership team and a standing committee, again, we are committed to making sure that everything carries on as much as we can, following normal procedures. We love you all very much. We care for you all very much. And we are praying for you all a lot as well. So please be reassured that you are all in our prayers. And if there's anything at all we can do, then please just shout and we will be there as quickly as we possibly can. So on that note, before we begin our service, you might see on the front of this white sheet, at the very bottom, there's a prayer that Bishop Dagmar has put together, which I think sums up many of the feelings that we're feeling together this morning. So I'm going to pray this prayer and use this as we launch into our service this morning. So let's just take a moment to be quiet and to lift all of these procedures, all of our feelings, all those who we know who may be anxious or fearful at this time, to God, and to trust he is with us this morning. Gracious God, you call us to fullness of life. Deliver us from fear and banish our anxieties with the liberating love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So if you're able, could I invite you to stand as we begin our service this morning? And if you want to take your green orders of service, we begin on the front page at paragraph 2. And we remind ourselves that the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us, and we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so remain standing now as we sing together our first hymn, hymn number 482, Lord, Today Your Voice Is Calling, hymn number 482. Thank you. So can I invite you to take your seats now as we listen to our sentences of Scripture, words of comfort that our Saviour Jesus Christ promises to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And hear also what St. Paul says. This saying is true and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so reflecting on perhaps the times in our life when we have not trusted fully in these promises, when we have turned away from God's life and his plans for us, we turn now to a time of confession. You then who truly and earnestly repent of your sins are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from this day forward in his holy ways, draw near with faith and make your humble confession to Almighty God. And together we pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. So may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And during the season of Lent, we don't say the Gloria together, so we move straight on to paragraph 7 and the collect, or our special prayer for today, the third Sunday of Lent. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up for joy, but first he suffered pain and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we remain seated now as Chris brings us our Bible readings.
The first reading is from Psalm 66, verses 1 to 12, and you can find that on page 556, going to 557. So this is a psalm sung originally in praise of a God who works through history, something we may only be able to see in retrospect. You might think that strangely topical. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praises to you. They sing the praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for humankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the other nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel reading. The gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and that's on page 974. 974. This is one in a series of incidents which took place in and around Capernaum, which, as you probably know, is a thriving town on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, which Luke calls Gennesaret. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they both began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thanks, Chris. Would you let's take a seat? There's one thing we had planned to say at the beginning of the service, but because of the coronavirus, we decided to leave it until a little bit later on, split the two things up, because they're both quite big things. This is to say that Natalie, our friend Natalie, who is a minister here in the Ely team, has a new role. She's been appointed the National Sports Project Officer in the evangelism team at the Church of England. And so she'll be looking to target all those sports people who don't yet know Jesus and haven't found him for themselves. So her last Sunday here will be the 24th of May, and she'll be starting a new role on the 15th of June. But she does intend to remain living somewhere around here in Ely, so we'll see her quite often probably as well. We'll say goodbye properly to Natalie and express our appreciation of her in due course, but I just thought you ought to know that before we start. So back to our story. So this is the story about a man on a boat on a lake, and about something that happened to that man in that boat on that lake. And he was not the same man when he left the boat as when he got in it. And his name was Simon Peter. And we heard about him last week because he went to the Transfiguration on Mount Tabor, which we heard about, which Kerry preached about last week. But actually, this is the story about what happens to any of us when we come face to face with God. And it can be hard, and it's probably painful, but God knows how much we need to do that. And so the lake is Lake Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee. And you can imagine why Jesus and his disciples would have loved to come here. It's a place of great beauty. It's a heart-shaped freshwater lake, quite a big lake, set among the hills in northern Israel. The air is semi-tropical, it's warm and moist, and there's a slight breeze coming in as we join them. And the boat, well, it's quite an ordinary fishing boat. It would have been about three-quarters of the length of this church, single mast, made of wood. And in 1986, during a big drought in Israel, a couple of fishermen found the hull of such a boat protruding from the newly dried ground. And the carbon testing dated it to right around when Jesus was alive. And it's now in a museum, and it's called the Jesus Boat. And there's a decent chance that Jesus would actually have seen this boat. And in fact, there's a small, very small possibility that he might have actually sat in this boat. The curators, when they looked at it, said it's a work of a master craftsman, a great boat builder, but it's made from inferior materials, what was readily available at the time. A bit like the disciples, a bit like Simon Peter, a bit like the church, a bit like you and me. And at various times it got damaged in its life, and it was patched up and held together in the hands of the master craftsman, a bit like you and a bit like me. So that brings us to this story that happened right here on the Lake of Galilee. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So Jesus is teaching. Probably he's in the Bay of Parables, as it's now called, which is a natural amphitheater with amazing acoustic qualities. And his followers are starting to crowd in. This was before mass gatherings are postponed, I can assure you. And he gets into a boat. And Simon rows him out a few feet into the water, and Jesus sits down. Even today, when rabbis want to teach, they sit down. Some would say this is so that the sermon can go on a very long time, just as they were meant to. But others might say that actually they're sitting down to express the seriousness of what they want to say. I wonder what Jesus is saying. Maybe he's declaring, "You are the light of the world." And Peter is thinking, "I'd love that to be true." Maybe Jesus is saying, "If you're angry with your brother, it's as bad as murder." And one day, Peter is going to be so angry that he cuts off someone's ear. Maybe Jesus is speaking to Peter's temper. Maybe Jesus is saying, "Don't worry about your life. Think about the birds of the air." And Peter, who will one day panic in a storm on this very lake, thinks how hard it is for him to trust God. Maybe for Peter, when he hears Jesus talk, there is this hope for what might be. But it's mixed with guilt and regret about how far he has fallen short. Anyway, Jesus finishes his teaching, and Peter starts rowing back to the shore. I wonder if he's saying, "Good talk, Jesus, well done." But Jesus has other plans and says, "Simon, put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Now, this would be frustrating for Peter. He's the professional. He knows fishing. Jesus is just a rabbi who used to be a carpenter. Peter could have said to Jesus, "We've been working all night. Fish don't bite in daylight. My crew are finished." But here's what Peter did say. "Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything, so this doesn't make sense to me. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." because you say so, I will do it. He trusts Jesus. What if we were to trust like that? When God asks us to do something we don't understand, and yet we still say, because you say it, I will do it. When God asks us to be generous with our money, I'd rather keep it all, Lord, but because you say so, I will give it. When God calls us to forgive someone when they don't deserve it in our eyes, I don't get it, Lord, but because you say so. To become but because you say so people is something to aspire to as individuals and together as a church. Peter doesn't see what Jesus sees yet, but he's willing to do what Jesus says, and that's enough for Jesus. That's enough to be a disciple. And because Peter said that, his story then develops. When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now you'd think Peter would be thrilled, wouldn't you? But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." It's a very dramatic moment, isn't it? Remember, the floor of the boat is covered with fish, smelly and messy. Yet Peter is so overwhelmed, he falls right there at Jesus' feet. Peter sees who Jesus is and at the same time has a profound awareness of his own brokenness. And we see this elsewhere in the Bible lots of times. For example, the prophet Isaiah has a vision of the Lord and his very next thought is, "I'm a man of unclean lips. And now I see the living God, I'm in trouble." And he falls face down. We all act in destructive ways that cause pain and hurt, intentionally and unintentionally. And when we find ourselves in the presence of God, we see the consequences as if we're in a spotlight and we can't bear it. Sin isn't just a Weight Watchers term. It's way deeper than that. It's waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a cold sweat, knowing that you can't forgive yourself. Sin ruins everything. Without it, there would be no war, no racism, no sex trafficking, no domestic abuse, no bullied children, no lies, no deceit. If you're looking at yourself and saying, "Why am I never satisfied, never at peace? How did I become this angry person? Why is my relationship miserable? How did this happen?" Maybe we've grown cynical over the years, or maybe jealous, or become involved in an all-consuming quest for more money to bring us security, or maybe addicted to some rush or other. What do we do with this? Well, St. Paul says Jesus' desire is to free us from this power of sin until we are stainless, without blemish. And it's painful. We have to look at ourselves closely through God's eyes. But the reward is freedom in Christ. We can confess our wrongdoings. We can ask God to help us examine ourselves. AA call it taking a fearless and searching moral inventory. And when we've done that, we can confess what we've been and turn 180 degrees and allow God to forgive us and to heal us. Back in the boat, Peter's confession, when he falls at Jesus' feet, is his first confession, but it's not his last. He will later tempt Jesus with Satan's words. He will be unable to trust Jesus on the water. He will slice off a Roman centurion's ear. And just when Jesus needs Peter the most, he will deny him 3 times. So for each of us, you and me, we should expect that confession of our transgressions, seeking forgiveness and healing, will be a regular occurrence for the rest of our lives. When we encounter God, when we seek him out, or he seeks us out, our situation before him becomes painfully clear. Our denial is shattered, our collusion evaporates. Peter's response, "Get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He actually wants Jesus to go away, but Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't say, "Peter, I had no idea you were such a sinful guy. I need to disembark at once." No, Jesus looked at Simon, probably with a loving smile, and said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people." Peter is expecting to get the book thrown at him. He expects condemnation, but he gets grace. Imagine his joy. Imagine the change in his life. Peter's confession is simple. "Get away from me," he says, because he's under the spotlight. His comfort is discomfort is intense. He's thinking, "I can't stand the piercing of your eyes. I'm unworthy to be sharing this boat with you." That's how guilt works. We want to hide from God. At the very moment when we need intimacy with Jesus most, we go into Jesus avoidance mode. But please don't do that. You may not be ready, you may not feel clean enough, but you can approach him. He knows everything after all. And just admit, you are a mess. What if Jesus had granted Peter's wish? "Okay, I'll go." But the wonderful thing about prayer, even when what we pray is gibberish, Jesus always sees beyond the words to the heart. Jesus sees beyond what we ask for to what we really need. And then he gives this gift. Jesus said to Peter, "Don't be afraid. Peter, your confession doesn't disqualify you. It's just what I've been waiting for, to be able to work with you." He's telling Peter, there's a place where you can be free from all the guilt and shame in your life, all the regret in your life, and it's less than 100 miles from here. It's at Calvary, overlooking Old Jerusalem. And yes, a price has to be paid, but for you and I in this room this morning, thank God it's already been paid by a man named Jesus on a pain-filled, wood-splintered, blood-stained cross. This matchless man, this perfect man, went to that cross. He chose it freely and he hung there and he surrendered his life. And in some deep, mysterious way that you and I will never fully understand, he was paying the price for the forgiveness of my sins and yours so that we could be free. We're all in the same situation. We're all part of the universal league of the guilty. We're all in the same boat. But it can be the Jesus boat. Today may be your day to say, "Because you said it, Lord, I will do it." Today may be your day to confess to Jesus, as best you can and with God's help, what it is that you have done. And to ask him through what he did on the cross to take away all that guilt and all that history. Today may be your day to commit to the journey of being healed. To say, "I don't understand all this, God, but because you said it, I will do it." So that outside broadcast was the story about a man named Peter on a lake, on a boat. But it could be your story. He could be your forgiver. He could be your savior. This could be your life. Amen. Can I pray? Heavenly Father, there are so many ways in which we identify with Peter. Our brokenness, our transgressions, our imperfection in front of you. And Father, we thank you that we can bring all of that to the foot of the cross. Help us to confess, Father. Help us to walk to the cross, to leave those things that are wrong with you. And help us to turn to face you in our lives. Help us to receive your forgiveness, to commit to living a new life, knowing that we will have to come back to that cross pretty regularly. Father, help us to start that journey this morning with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So as we continue to make that journey to the cross this morning, we stand now to sing our next hymn, Hymn number 485, Lord, we turn to you for mercy. Hymn number 485. And so as we remain standing now, we declare our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you can find at paragraph 11 in your orders of service. We say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Can I invite you to sit or to kneel now as Oliver brings us our prayers of intercession?
Lord, we pray for all those affected by the current situation. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy. Sustain and support the anxious. Be with those who care for the sick. And lift up all who are brought low, that we may find comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, in this season of Lent, may we pray, fast, and share with those in need. Help us to be good neighbours. Help us support the most vulnerable in our community. We pray for your world and remember victims of violence and conflict. May your light of justice shine out wherever there is darkness. May all people live in freedom and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for your church. We give thanks to all those who give their time and energy in your service. We thank you for your faithful servants of many years. We thank you for the newest members of your church. We think especially of Theodore Moore, who was baptized here last week, and his family. Lord, let us all be children of God. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us be good disciples. May we use our gifts in your service and for one another. And like Peter on the Sea of Galilee, trust and follow you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, Lord, we pray for all in need of healing and comfort. In a moment of silence, we bring to you all those on our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, and be our welcome guest, and may we know your presence with us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
If you're able to, can I invite you to stand now for the peace? Obviously, just a reminder again that we're going to share the peace without making any form of bodily contact. And if you were here last week, you'll remember that I talked about Shane Claiborne and his book, The Irresistible Revolution, where he talks about being in a leper colony in India and how he looked into the eyes of somebody who was struggling with leprosy and was near their death, and they said to them, Namaste, which was a sign that they could see God at work in them. So today, as we come to the peace, let's again look at each other in the eye and wish each other the peace. Even though we can't touch each other or shake each other's hands, let's acknowledge that Christ lives in each one of us, and his peace is what we want to hold up today. And if you do want to do something symbolically, I'm just going to teach you very quickly the British Sign Language way of saying the peace. We didn't do this last week. We'll take it slowly week by week, and we'll invent something new each week. But this week, this is how you might want to say peace. So you put your hands together like this, and you say, peace be with you, okay? So should we try that together? So peace be with you. So you might want to use that to offer your neighbor the sign of peace. But if that's too complicated for you, then do just look them in the eye and wish them the peace. I'm sure that they'll understand. Where two or three are gathered in my name, says the Lord, there I am in the midst of them. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Let us offer one another a sign of peace.
Peace be with you.
It's good to hear laughter and joy, especially as we share the peace together. As we gather around the communion table this morning, we sing together now our next hymn, hymn number 53. At this table, we remember hymn number 53. So continuing at paragraph 15 in our orders of service, we give thanks for the gifts offered by the congregations for God's work in St. Mary's and for our mission partners, and together we pray, generous God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, we offer our gifts to you with joy, symbol of the work you have given us to do. Use them, use us, in the service of your world, to the glory of your name. Amen. So as we come now to our Eucharistic prayer, just a reminder that we will be receiving just the bread this morning and we won't be kneeling. So at the time that the sides people invite you forward, do come forward to the front, receive the bread, and then go off to the side and return to your seats. And just to say as well, there will be a tiny amount of wine which will be consecrated, which I will then consume. And that doesn't mean that it's just me that's taking the full benefit of communion. I'll be taking it on behalf of all of us. And we're all partaking in the Lord's Supper today. So please be reassured that the full benefits of communion will be bestowed upon you. And it's my prayer, my hope, that as we now enter into the Eucharistic prayer, we will know God's love as we come forward to the altar. And just to say, if you are listening online or you're listening on a CD, hello to you. And please use this time as a time of reflection. So we remind ourselves once again this morning that the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread and gave it to them and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you and gave it to them and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice, made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. And so as our Savior taught us, we sit or we kneel now to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. We pray together. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. So draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So we join together now in the prayer after communion. We pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And if you're able, would you join me in standing now as we sing together our final hymn, hymn number 132, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Hymn number 132. 52, sorry. So as we go from our service today, it's our prayer that you would be able to hear that still small voice of calm. Just like Simon Peter in the boat, he was able to hear Jesus and he followed him even though it was risky, even though it changed the direction of his life completely. And even in these difficult and uncertain times, we pray that you would hear that still small voice of calm. And if you're struggling this morning, or even if you're not, can I encourage you to make an extra effort to go through and have a cup of tea and coffee today? Just head through the brown door on your right. Say hello to somebody, perhaps someone that you've never spoken to before, and just say that you're there. Just make sure that they know that you're there for them as well, especially if they're worried or they're anxious. And why don't you be that still small voice of calm to somebody else, or let somebody else minister to you? And if you'd like to pray with somebody, then I'd be delighted to pray with you. Chris would be delighted to pray with you. And there's also a small team of people that will be meeting in this corner who would also love to pray with you. So do come and join them after the service and they'll pray for you. But as we come to the end of our service now, a final prayer of blessing over all of us who are gathered here this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us and those who we love, now and forevermore. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.